Our reading today is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for their usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same that I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Loving and eternal God, we bless you and thank you for the gift of your word in Scripture, and ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you alone are our rock, our refuge, and our redeemer. And we offer these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of the great goals, and in fact one of the great challenges of the Christian life, is the invitation to view the world as Jesus did. At one point in the New Testament, I think we all know that the Apostle Paul encourages his readers to let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's an invitation that continues to resonate across the centuries. We're called to view the world and each other and existence and even ourselves from the same perspective and with the same mind and through the same eyes as Christ. And one of the great tools that were offered in order to accomplish this complex and ever incomplete challenge is to ponder the stories that Jesus told to his followers, such as today's story from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. It's a story that draws us in, but offers an unexpected twist at the end, which can't help but cause us to pause and to ponder the nature of God, of how God invites us to view each other, and even of how we are supposed to view and understand God and God's grace. The story, at first, seems quite straightforward. A vineyard owner sets out early in the morning to hire a group of workers to help him to tend the vineyard. As the day progresses, he invites more individuals to participate in the work until the end of the day, when he gathers them together and has his master offer them their daily wages. But then the twist comes. The landowner asks first to pay those who were hired last in the day, that is, those who had worked the very shortest period of time, but they're paid a full day's wages. A day's wages was what they needed in order to feed themselves and their families, and they received what they needed. Those who had been hired earlier in the day, and as such those who had clearly worked far longer and far harder than the late-in-the-day newcomers, were quietly happy to see this happen because they suspected within themselves that this unexpected generosity on the part of the landowner would lead to a greater remuneration for them and for their efforts. If those who had not done so much still received the full day's wages, how much more would this generous landowner offer to them who had worked so much harder and so much longer than those who had only worked for an hour or two. But such was not the case. Rather, those who had been hired first were paid exactly the same as those who had been latest to the vineyard, which did not seem all that fair. And as we read in verses 10 and 11, now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They certainly had a point. It didn't seem fair. It did not seem just. It did not seem like a very decent way to be treated. But they also missed the point, because after all, what they received was exactly what they had negotiated for. It was exactly what they deserved to receive, that being a full day's wages for a full day's work. Their anticipation of receiving more than the day's wages was rooted entirely in their perception of the generosity of the landowner towards those who had not put in so much time and energy and effort. Which is intriguing, if not ironic, because generosity on the part of the landowner provoked grumbling on the part of the hard workers. They really did not have anything, however, to grumble about. They had worked a full day, and they were paid for a full day's work. Both they and their families would be provided for, since what they received was entirely fair and entirely sufficient. The parable, we all know, is a story about grace, but a grace that is sufficient and fair, both for those who have worked hard and generous even to those who have done really nothing to deserve it. Of course, the real question is where we as readers find ourselves in this story. And it's this question that helps us to begin to see things as Christ was challenging his followers to see things. In order to do so, I think it's necessary to ponder where we enter into this story or from which perspective we're reading this text. So much depends on this interpretive lens, this perspective, these eyes through which we read this story. And so consider, after all, how any of us would have felt if we had been the workers who had been busy all day long. We've worked hard. We've given of our time and energy and effort, and yet, when all's said and done, even those who have done very little to deserve what is being offered end up receiving the same that we do. Who are these offensive, selfish, guilty, disreputable people to be loved and held in the grace of God? Does that really seem all that fair? It can be good for us to remember that this story, when it was first told, likely was shaped by dynamics between the Jewish and Gentile believers in the early Christian community. On one hand, there were the long-standing faithful, those who had given their lives to covenantal obedience to God, those whose ancestors and they themselves had embraced actions and attitudes that had been shaped and disciplined by the rituals and practices of faith. Some still followed elaborate and difficult rules about how to live, what to eat, how to demonstrate their faithfulness to these covenantal obligations. But then along came a bunch of Gentiles who acted as if they were not bound by such rules, but who seemed to think that they did not have to abide by these regulations, and yet also claimed to be part of the community of faith, claimed to be recipients of the grace and mercy and forgiveness and love that had been revealed in Jesus Christ. Unless we judge them too harshly, it can be good for us to realize that this dynamic of the long-standing and hard-working faithful, perhaps looking down a bit at those who are seemed to be newcomers, well, it's not an old or outdated phenomenon. It's like a bunch of people who show up for church and enjoy all the benefits without doing any of the hard work. Those who put in the time, those who pay the bills, those who work hard behind the scenes sometimes wonder why these Christmas and Easter Christians like showing up when all the work's done, and they don't seem to realize that a whole lot of hard work has to go into keeping it all going the rest of the year as well. And then we make up statistics, about 80% of the work being done by 20% of the people. Or we recite old complaints about how this or that committee doesn't have enough volunteers because no one wants to be committed to the hard work of the church anymore. Or we voice the usual laments about Christmas and Easter Christians as we grumble about those who only arrive at the vineyard late in the day and want to celebrate the generosity and grace of the landowner. Well, you get the point. There's a message, therefore, in this story for people like us, people who are consider ourselves to be hard workers in the vineyard of God's kingdom, who sometimes wonder if that person or that group of people really should be receiving the same measure of grace that we do. But consider as well if we read the story through a different set of eyes, through a different lens, from a different perspective. That is, what if we read this story as one of the later workers, as one of these Johnny-come-latelys to the party, as those who know full well deep within us that we really have not done quite as much as we like to think we have to deserve the love and grace and mercy of God? How do we read this story if we know deep within ourselves that the generosity of God is being extended to us perhaps in spite of how we're living rather than because of it? How do we embrace this story when we realize that our actions and our attitudes and our ways of being are really don't show that we've shown up very early in the vineyard at all? How do we read this story as those who know that we've wasted a lot of time, or we know that we really aren't all that saintly, who we know that it's a bit rich for us to celebrate God's love and grace when we have for so much of our lives ignored that invitation to go to work? How do we read this story when we know deep within us that celebrating or claiming or depending or on being recipients of God's love and grace is something that we do not, in fact, completely deserve? And how do we deal with the fact that accepting such grace can sometimes really, truly, honestly make us feel a little bit guilty, a little bit awkward? The story, it should be noted, offers no description of how the late in the day workers felt when they saw how much they were being given. Did it make them feel grateful? Or did it make them feel a bit awkward? Or did it make them feel a bit of both? There is a message in this story for people like us who know that we are perhaps not quite as deserving of grace as others that we see having worked in the vineyard. Others who know, we know, maybe merit a bit more of God's grace than we do. But consider then if we read this story from a third and final perspective, a perspective that we may not initially consider, that being to read this story from the perspective of the landowner. For many of us, this might seem to be the most unusual and uncomfortable perspective of all. After all, when we read these stories, we tend to assign various identities to them and to the characters in them. More often than not, if there's a master or a king or a landowner or a sower or a farmer in these stories, we tend to assume that Jesus intends for us to see that character as God, which is not necessarily incorrect, but neither is it absolutely necessary. And if we read this story through that lens, we cannot help but realize that this story invites us to a challenging and provocative way to see others. After all, what's interesting for us to notice is that the landowner's generosity was in fact an act of care for all equally, and not only for those who deserved that care that the landowner was able to provide. All of the workers actually needed a day's wage in order to care for themselves and to care for their families. So rather than giving less to those who were not quite as deserving and more to those who would work the hardest, the landowner simply decided to treat people equally. And in that equality, all ended up receiving what they actually needed. So what if we were to treat others in the same way? Not to love or care for those who deserve our compassion more than we love or care for those who do not. not to distinguish the undeserving from the deserving in our own lives, but rather to seek to use whatever we have to meet the needs of all equally. What if we treat those who deserve our love and those who do not with the same measure of compassion, not based on whether they deserve that love, but rather because they need to be loved just as much as every worker in that ancient vineyard needed to come home that night with a full day's wages? This actually is the nature of grace. It is care and compassion and love that is offered to the other not because of, but in spite of whether that other deserves it or not. And this is the way that Christ invites us to view the world and those with whom we interact each day, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, but also to love our enemies in that same way, to respond to those who do us good and to those who do us evil with an equal measure of kindness and patience and forgiveness, to treat the deserving and the undeserving with an equal generosity. To be perfectly honest, to live in such a way may be the most difficult thing that any of us will ever choose to do with our lives. Jesus knew that, which is why he told these stories, and why these stories are so powerful and so challenging and so provocative, because grace is powerful, grace is challenging, grace is provocative, but it is the way to find the kingdom of heaven in this world. And so perhaps we need to stop trying to figure out if we're the early workers to the field or the late workers to the field, and instead ask ourselves this. When Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner," maybe he's saying to us this. Can you be in this world in the same gracious, generous way that that landowner was so long ago? Thanks be to God. And amen. Let us rise and affirm our faith together.